The shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Film Stage Show, the official podcast of thefilmstage.com. I am your host, Brian J. Rowan. With me today, we have Amanda Waltz.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Amanda. We also have Bill Graham.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! And we are here today to talk about the summer's most anticipated film, The Shallows. Newest film by Yame Colesera. I'm sorry, what was that, Amanda?
I think that's overstating it.
I was talking purely for myself and all people of good taste. The Shallows by director Yame Colesera, and starring Blake Lively and a really big fish. This film, out in theaters now, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to give a full review. We are going to allot Bill some time to talk about Independence Day Resurgence.
What a piece of shit.
Because
and that's it. That's all you get, Bill.
That was it. There was an assumption that we might be able to talk about that in addition to The Neon Demon. This weekend has gotten crazy. There's way too many movies coming out. We will have an extra episode about Neon Demon. We will not have a full episode on ID 4-2 or IDR or ID2 or whatever the hell you want to call it.
I've heard ID5. I've heard ID5.
That's
my ID5 is ID4.
Well, Amanda, when the movie first came out, its little shorthand was ID4 because I guess Independence Day is the 4th of July. you don't remember this?
Here's the half-assed nature of this film. They couldn't even bother to release it on July 4th weekend.
Right.
That's crazy. That's bananas, honestly. Like, the timing of this is all crazy. Anyway,
Wouldn't it be funny if it went out of theaters on July 4th?
Because it just did that poorly. Oh, my God. All right, well, anyway, you can find us on Twitter at Film Stage Show. You can find us on Facebook at The Film Stage Show. Also, you can find us at thefilmstage.com, where you can comment on the pages these episodes are posted on. And that's pretty much it. Thank you, Bobby Darin. That was Mac the Knife. Fantastic. All right, so that's about it for housekeeping. Not a lot else going on. So, Bill, let's hear about it. You have 2 minutes to tell us everything you need to tell us about Independence Day Resurgence, starting now.
Okay, so this film is straight up bonkers. One thing that it does incredibly poorly is it has terrible special effects. Like, at times, it's borderline where you just squint at it and you're like, what is that? Oh, that's an alien? Oh my God, that looks awful. And so I don't understand where some of the film's budget went. I listened to an interview where Jeff Goldblum talks deliriously about his $150,000 spacesuit that he apparently wears in the film, which is interesting because like all the space stuff is completely unnecessary. They have a moon base that is completely useless. They have like all these defense systems set up and they get taken out. And the film is it really feels like it shouldn't exist, and that it isn't giving a whole lot of reason to exist, except to bring back some of these characters that we all have kind of like love for. So like Judd Hirsch is fantastic in the film.
Everybody loves Judd Hirsch.
Bill Pullman gives another speech in the middle of this aircraft hangar bay, but nobody is really paying attention. Other pilots are like doing stuff, like they're getting ready for the final defensive, and he's like just kind of in the middle of it talking real loudly while Jeff Goldblum is kind of looking at him. And it's such an awkward scene. The film really kind of actually builds up to a potential sequel where they talk about having a war planet where you literally train to learn how to fight these main aliens. So, yeah, this film exists. I don't know why, but definitely go see it if you have any interest in it, because it will blow your mind either how dumb it is or just how stupid fun it is to just look at the screen and imagine why.
Oh my god. All right, well, that's insanity.
Look at that. Wow. Yeah.
You only went over by 10 seconds. I'm impressed.
Yes.
It's good. It's good.
Well, but it was worth that it. That was because you cut me off three times to let me know my time.
It was
although
only
it was
two
beneficial.
Times.
It was beneficial, but I had to recollect my thoughts right after you said that.
Brian
things.
Rowan, human shot clock. That was my name in high school. Yeah, so that's Independence Day Resurgence.
I don't know why you have that name.
So let's move on to our feature review. And that is The Shallows. Again, the newest film by director Yami Kolesera, who's previously done Nonstop, which devotees of this podcast may remember as the Liam Neeson action movie that nearly made it into Nick Newman's top 10 of the year.
That is so crazy.
That was a great day when it almost did. I think it only came in at like 12, which is really sad. He also did Unknown and Run All Night.
And, I liked Run All Night.
Yeah, I loved Run All Night. It was a good movie.
I did not. We did a podcast on it.
We did. I enjoyed Run All Night.
I don't remember that.
Anyway.
I don't think I did.
This is also written by Anthony, I'm so sorry, Jaswinski, probably how you pronounce that. And again, stars
Blake Lively. The J might be a Y.
Yeah, Jaswinski?
Maybe.
With the W be a V.
Yeah. Jaswinski. Jaswinski.
Yeah. Anyway.
Could be Polish. I don't know.
Tony Wink, he wrote this, and it is starring Blake Lively and what appears to be a 15-foot-long great white shark. So, The Shallows. Here is the trailer.
Learning to be self-reliant takes time.
Oh, God.
And these are the steps. Assume responsibility. Know where you are going. Make your own decisions. Yes, sir. It's hard work to become self-reliant.
So that is the incredibly awesome final trailer for The Shallows.
It's funny listening to that trailer without any visuals. It sounds like an old Levi's commercial.
it really does. But
I was
going to
say, it sounds like one of those early aughts like dance tracks that would take, you know, random.
Oh, yeah,
clips.
Like the sunscreen. Yeah. Didn't Baz Luhrmann do that? Yeah.
I don't know, but that gave me like serious goosebumps. Like
that trailer is very effective.
That's a super effective trailer for what I would say is a super effective movie. Let's talk about it. Bill Graham, you got to talk about Independence Day for 2 minutes, so we're gonna move on to Amanda Waltz.
Oh boy.
Should we stop with her? Oh man.
Oh boy.
Just let her alone speak and then just log off.
Just let me get this out. So I actually was really looking forward to this movie. I am a huge devotee of shark movies.
Hell yeah.
As anyone who's ever seen my Slack photo knows. Because I actually dressed up as Jaws for Halloween.
Please tell me this was recent.
Yeah, it was recent. It was probably like 2 years ago, and my husband was Quint.
That's awesome.
It was a really good costume, actually. So I've seen all the Jaws movies, including Jaws of Revenge, which, yeah. But even Deep Blue Sea, things like that. I I do enjoy a good shark movie.
I'm now super upset that the opening for this was not me just playing Deepest Bluest. My hat is like a shark fin.
Oh my god!
How could I not have done that?
We can re-record.
You're just gonna re-record the entire first 3 minutes.
I mean, we can end on that. That can be the the outro. Because it was the outro to that movie.
That is my movie. Like I drug a bunch of friends. Yeah, I drug a bunch of friends to go see it. Alamo was playing it like a couple of months ago. I drugged two of my friends out to go see it. And they had already seen it, and they were like, why are we watching this again? And I'm like, because this movie's awesome.
Because it's the best movie ever.
Come on, you have like basically, I say raptor sharks because they're like, ooh, they're hyper-intelligent sharks. I mean, come on. Like,
yeah, no, it's basically like an excuse to do Jurassic Park with sharks.
Ah, so good.
It's the kitchen scene of Jurassic Park over the course of an entire movie with sharks.
Just a bunch of clever girl sharks.
Clever girl sharks.
Yes. But so I will say this movie starts off very promising. The intro is riveting. It's a GoPro. It's shot with a GoPro camera, although it doesn't. It doesn't look like GoPro footage, but you're meant to believe that it's GoPro footage because
being watched upon a GoPro.
Right, exactly. But it looks very. This whole movie is very glossy. Like the cinematography, it's very pristine. Just like the water is extremely clear and beautiful. So is this movie.
All right.
It is. It's a beautiful looking film. It looks like a Carnival cruise ship ad.
Yeah. the Carnival cruise ship ad from hell.
Right. Especially the surfing sequences. It's like, yeah. It's very glossy.
This is a film where you've heard of like, you know, comedies and stuff like that set in like really nice, like the Bahamas and all these places. And you're like, this is basically a reason for the cast and crew to just go visit that location for like 2 months. and that's what this kind of reminded me of was like someone was like, "Hey, Blake Lively, you want to learn how to surf and be in a movie at the same time?"
There were a few times in this movie where it was very obvious that her face was CGI.
Yep,
I agree with that.
Painfully obvious. But
she's definitely in that bikini.
I've actually known quite a few surfers. Actually, my husband went to grad school with one, and he was the most stereotypical surfer, like, bro you will ever meet in your life. And they get so much sun damage. I mean, it's crazy. Like, when I met him, I thought he was in his 30s, and I learned he was 23. I was shocked. I was like, oh my god, dude.
So are you saying that Blake Lively looks prematurely aged enough to be a surfer?
Yeah, she does. She has some, I will say she has some convincing sun damage. I mean, she still looks gorgeous.
Towards the end of the film, for sure.
Towards the end of the film. When the film becomes basically Castaway with a bird. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Yes!
No. It's starting already.
You leave Steven Seagal alone.
That fucking bird.
Just like Deep Blue Sea, there is a bird co-star.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Parrot.
Oh, man. I think you just killed Amanda.
Oh.
I feel like I do that at least twice an episode.
Oh, I forgot about the parrot. Was it a parrot or was it? Yeah, it was a parrot in Deep Blue Sea.
In this movie, it is a seagull.
That stupid ass seagull. Anyway.
Whoa.
All right.
Let's give your opinion so we can knock you down.
Yeah. we can go, man. We're gonna
back
go
on track.
but I will say it starts off very promising. Blake Lively, do we even want to sum up the plot of this film?
Plot of the movie. Yeah, sure, let's go for it. A woman who is surfing on a secluded beach is attacked by a shark. Gets stranded on a rock about 200 yards from shore and has to fight for survival. There.
Yeah,
plot.
Yeah, here's a plot.
Here's the one thing. Here's the one thing that I think they actually did that was actually intelligent for why the shark is there. There's a floating whale carcass that has a noticeable chunk like missing out of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Premise locked in. Done.
So here's the thing. I was all in on this movie. I mean, there are some things that it does with social media where it's using grams and texts and various other modes.
Skype, FaceTime,
or whatever. FaceTime. Or Voxel. There was something that popped up. I was like, what the hell is Voxel?
I think that might be like a Mexican cell phone provider.
Okay. I was like, this could be real. I don't know. It could be like when they create fake social media things. But it's good and it's bad. I think it's good for subtle storytelling because you learn what happened to her mom without her actually explicitly saying it. Because the reason she's going to the beach is because it was when her mom first found out she was pregnant with her. She went to this beach and there's an island that looks like a pregnant woman. And it's, you know, it's like, oh, okay, this is nice. And then you see a photo of her mom. Like, she goes through a couple photos and then you see her mom very obviously in the hospital, like, with cancer. I mean, yes. It's pretty cut and dry. So I thought that was pretty excellent, the way they're like, okay, we're going to get this backstory out of the way. There's some aspects of the backstory I don't think are necessary at all, but we'll get into that. But I was in. Then the whale came, and I was like, I'm done. I can't.
What a weird point to check out of this movie. Just because there's a dead whale.
It is very early on. I could not take it seriously after that.
Why? Wait, what?
I don't understand.
Blake Lively rides a rubber whale. I can't. It's so dumb.
That's a very realistic looking dead whale.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I thought it was.
Amanda, have you been near a dead whale?
Have you?
Yeah.
It looks like it was part of a ride at Universal Studios. It looks so dumb.
Amanda, I mean, I don't want to blow your mind here, but whales are pretty fucking weird looking, and when they're dead and just floating on the surface,
it was dying.
Like.
Let's be fair, it was dying. It wasn't dead yet. Yeah, it was dying because it made a noise. No, it wasn't. Because it made a noise and it started flipping itself over.
I think it was dead and then it died.
I'm pretty sure it was just 100% dead and that the noise
was it
being moored on the reef and tearing free.
It was dying.
This is the least important thing we
this
could argue.
This is really
about.
The least important thing.
So you saw like a dead whale and you were like, no, I'm done.
How are you okay with that?
That it's such a good setup for why that shark is there.
Oh, no. It is because she climbs on top of it.
To get away from the shark.
And the whale starts moving and she's talking to it and I just started laughing.
When she starts climbing on that whale and she puts her hand through its
this movie is like next level ridiculous. I cannot take it
seriously. I'm sorry, I'm gonna say something crazy here. Is that not why it is amazing?
Yes.
If it had gone a little bit further, if it had not taken itself so seriously in terms of the plot.
You mean at the beginning?
Her backstory? Yeah.
I have absolutely no problem with that.
I'm coming from a different opinion. I think her backstory is terrible. I think
it's super terrible.
It takes itself
so seriously.
This movie is basically The Gray, but without any of the subtle storytelling of The Gray.
Yeah.
This movie is all subtlety gone.
Yeah, it's like this is the movie that people thought The Gray was going to be. Like, people saw The Gray, like, the trailers for The Gray, like, Liam Neeson going to fight a wolf. And then it turned out to be, like, a very subtle exploration of, like, grief and, like, what it takes to keep going on when all hope is lost. And this movie is like, yeah, we kind of got that, but only as a reason to have Blake Lively fight a shark.
Well, and that's the thing. I think this movie is intended as a sort of homage to a certain era of over-the-top action movies or suspense thrillers, but I think it totally backfires. There's, when I wasn't laughing at this movie, like, just out of disbelief, I was just incredibly frustrated with it. I mean, this movie is supposed, it's what, 87 minutes long?
Yeah.
It felt like 3 hours.
Wow.
I mean,
that's crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy, Amanda. That's all there is to it.
Oh, I'm okay with being crazy then. This is a dumb movie.
This movie is dumb. I will say yes.
But it's
amazing.
Dumb in the least fun way. It is dumb in the least fun way.
I want to hit you in the face. That's where I'm at right now.
I'm hit you in the face because this movie is embarrassing.
Oh my God.
It is embarrassing.
What?
How is this movie embarrassing?
The CGI is beyond terrible.
What?
I thought it was pretty good.
With a shark?
Fake. Everything looks fake. That shark looks mega fake.
Oh
those
my God.
Dolphins.
Incorrect, madam. Incorrect.
So fake, Brian. If you told me this was a Sci-Fi Channel original movie,
you are triple nining right now. You are letting your dislike of the movie just completely warp what you actually saw.
Why is that? But that's...
I don't understand why that's triple nining.
Brian?
Wait, Bill. Brian, all right, back me up. The shark looks good.
The shark looks good, especially above the water. Like any of the effects when it's settle down, Amanda. Let me talk. Especially when you see just mainly dorsal fin and what's the other fin? The dorsal fin and then
there's a tail fin. Yeah. There's the lateral the fins on the side.
Okay. Anyways, the two top fins. When you see those and you see the actual body moving through the water. From the top, from basically Blake Lively's vantage point throughout the entire film, you really get a sense like there's something in that water. Like, I agree.
There's definitely something in the water. It's a whale.
I'm with Bill here. The way that the shark moves in the water, the way that it interacts with the water, is all super realistic and very convincing.
Yeah.
But there was never a moment in this film where I was not convinced that there was a
shark. Oh, man. I was never convinced. I was like, that shark looks fake as fuck.
Amanda, why do you hate joy and wonder?
I guess I just demand more from movies than you do, Brian.
I don't know what more you could demand from this movie, though.
Here's the thing. Like I said, I thought it was super riveting in the beginning. I was willing to forgive the fact that the dialogue sounded like it was written by a 12-year-old boy because I was like, this is a fun action movie. It's going to be silly. It's going to be, you know, ridiculous. It was just too much. I was like, it was too much, and then it was too little because
it was too much fun for Amanda.
It was just it wasn't fun because it was just. I mean, there are parts in this movie where things happen that I think are meant to be shocking, but that are just so ridiculous. Like the whole thing with there's a scene in this movie that absolutely could have been cut out. It doesn't matter at all with the drunk on the beach.
Oh, I love that.
There's absolutely no reason that needed to be in there. And then what happens to him, I think you're meant to be shocked. And I was just laughing. I was just like, that looks so stupid.
But there's there's a line that this movie is towing between like shock and thriller. And yeah, a little bit of like weird, goofy fun. And like it hits those marks.
I disagree. I very highly disagree. It's because there's just so many sequences of her lying on the rock and she's talking to herself and explaining why she's doing things, which I felt like was just so condescending to the audience.
Okay. Oh my God.
She's explaining every single thing that she's doing.
Are you talking about her medical procedures?
Everything. Every single thing she does. She's like, oh, the shark, it doesn't like the sting. I'm like, you don't need to say that. We know. This movie is very condescending toward its audience.
I would say that audiences have made it so that movies like this have to be condescending.
Oh, Brian. Oh, no.
No, because when I was walking out, there were so many stupid people in the audience asking questions that actually had been directly addressed by the dialogue lines that you're talking about.
Oh, Brian.
So I think I'm not disagreeing with you. I think her saying stuff like, "Oh, you don't like that," regarding the shark's reaction to the fire coral is unnecessary. At the same time, however, there were people in my audience who were still confused by it. At which point, it's like, I don't know what you want from this movie, audience.
Like, no, I agree with you.
Should we have
a
pop-up video thing on a movie like this where it's like, remember when the guy talked about fire coral that stings like jellyfish? I agree. I could have done with this movie being totally silent, and that would have been great.
Oh, yeah.
But that's, I would have liked it more, Amanda, not the world we're living in.
Well, I think
this is this situation where I'll agree with you, but I have to give the movie credit because it has to do it. Otherwise, people would be like, "I didn't get it."
Oh God!
You know,
yeah,
you gotta make those what's that word I'm looking for? Not secessions. You have to concede some points to the stupid audience who's going to be watching.
Well,
not saying the entire audience.
I could have forgiven that. If the CGI did not look so terrible. When that shark, like, emerges from the water and just starts chomping down and the buoy at one point, I was like, that looks so bad. It looks so... I couldn't take it seriously. I could not get immersed in the fun that I was supposed to have with this movie, because it just all looked so terrible.
Well, let's see what Bill thought. Bill, what did you think of The Shallows?
Sure. So Amanda's talked a little bit about how kind of ridiculous and silly the film is.
I think I've talked a lot about how ridiculous and silly this movie is.
It's funny because at the point she checked out, I was still completely on board because I like the premise. I like the setup, whether the thing looks fake or not. I have no interaction with whales, dead or otherwise. So, you know, like I'm not going to be like,
"Oh, you don't
know
what you're
missing,
Bill."
Yeah. I'm not going to be like, "Oh no, that looks real fake." But I'm just going to be like, okay, cool. Like, I like this premise. I like the setup. When she climbs on, I've already said this, but when she climbs onto the whale, oh, I almost gagged. I was just like, oh, man, this is going for it. I didn't like the setup. I'll say that. I think having her mom, you know, have passed away from cancer and all this, and she can't even, like, I don't know why she can't find out the name of the fucking island.
Oh my God. I was like, just fucking say Shark Beach. Just say Shark Beach. Why is so insane?
Wait, what? Shark Beach?
Because everyone's like, everyone's being real coy about, like, oh, see ya, gringa. Like, they wouldn't tell her the name of the beach. I was like, just say Shark Beach. Just fucking say it. Well, I was expecting it to
My name is not Shark Beach.
What the hell is it called then?
Why do you think it's Shark Beach?
Because they don't want to tell her. Because... they didn't want to tell her that it was called Shark Beach.
It's not called Shark Beach.
There is literally nothing in this movie that would make you think that this place is called Shark Beach.
But I thought that was going to be a joke, that they weren't going to tell her the entire movie, and then she was going to, you know...
No, Amanda, here, let me spill this on you.
Here. I thought she was going to survive, and then look to her rescuer and say, what's the name of this beach? And they were going to say, I forget what the Spanish word for...
Tiburon.
For shark is, they were going to say that, and then she was just going to be like,
No, okay, that's stupid. No, it doesn't have a name because it doesn't have a name. It's an isolated piece of paradise that is free of names.
But my question is, how did she get there, right? How did she tell this guy how to find it? And then
she probably explained it to him. Looking for a cove. It's a crescent-shaped beach with rocks out in the distance that looks like blah blah blah. Showed her the picture with the mom, and he was like,
"Oh, but he doesn't see that picture because he wonders who that is, right? Because he's like, who is that you're looking at? Is that you?"
She just explained it. I don't.
She tells
her mom said,
"I don't think that it's that important.
It's super not important. How do we get caught up on shit like this all the time?"
Yeah.
Anyways, y'all interrupted me, so I'm going to keep going. plowing through. Shark beach. All right, here we go. I think the whole setup, the kind of initial premise is kind of dumb. Just get her on the beach. Just tell her that she's taking some time away from studying, because, you know, being a fucking doctor is kind of difficult. And studying to be one, taking your boards, doing all these exams, having to go through, you know, like 4 years of on-site clinicals and all that bullshit. Like, I've got a lot of friends that are going through that process, not necessarily becoming doctors, but going through the nursing process. And it's,
yeah, Bill, are they doing these things at hospitals?
Yes.
Okay, now, do those hospitals have cameras in their parking garages?
I would assume Baylor Medical has some parking garage cameras. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Anyways, just getting more 999 all up in you. Okay. So I didn't much care for the setup, the premise. But once she gets into the water, I'm A-okay. I'm fine. The beach is gorgeous. Everything about it, the way that she sets up, even to, you know, like even her little setup, she takes off for a moment to go surf some waves. She meets the two local dudes, has, you know, nice friendly banter with them, and they don't become like weird or creepy about it. Which is what I was like kind of expecting them to do, like uh-oh, you know, these locals.
I think
are gonna
she be- was too, because she gets, yeah, a little panicked because they walk by her backpack.
Sure. We don't have to go into nitty-gritty details and spoil everything, Amanda.
They walk by her backpack, spoiler.
That's
her.
Your job, Bill.
Yeah. Anyways, so one thing that I kind of enjoyed was kind of the setup in the process, and how she not only like goes out to surf for a little while, she comes back in to eat some food. Like, she is a normal fucking human being that needs like water and like sustenance to survive. And, you know, I can imagine like surf. I've never gone surfing myself, but I can imagine that it's kind of difficult. You know,
it's sun and the salt water, Bill. It's going to take it out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so everything works really well to set up the premise. There was a moment about halfway through, once everything kind of hits the fan and Blake Lively starts to realize that the Sark is basically circling around her, and where I had to realize that this film was not going to be what I thought it was going to be. It wasn't the setup. Yes, it's very kind of self-serious. It's kind of, you know, you could laugh about it afterwards, but while you're going through the process, it does kind of take itself seriously. And so you're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna ratchet down and like be ready for this like serious ass like shark action flick. And it turns into something completely different than that by becoming basically a very B movie shark attack film. Comparing it to Deep Blue Sea, I think Deep Blue Sea actually just succeeds on so many levels, where this film kind of doesn't have that ability, A, because it hampers her to be on one single location, and they're clever enough with how they kind of get around that and how they kind of make it intricate, and, you know, they put her on different places of this little rock island and stuff like that. But I think they kind of hampered themselves by, you know, I mean, look, this is basically Blake Lively for an hour fending off a shark. So you're going to get what that entails, right? There's not going to be a bunch of other people interacting with her. There's not going to be a bunch of big giant set pieces or anything like that. Her day really goes from like bad to worse to like completely awful in a very rapid amount of time.
Well, I mean, like, it doesn't get much worse than getting bit by a shark.
Sure. And then it gets worse. 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 And you're just like, oh my gosh.
And then she makes friends with a seagull and it gets better.
Yeah. Steven Seagull.
Steven Seagull.
I love that dog. I love that bird.
Did you call it a dog?
Yeah, I did call it a dog at first. the emphasis has to be made that if you're going in, like I said, expecting kind of a serious shark film, this is not it from about the time that the shark jumps out of the water at one point. And you're like, what? Oh, okay. So
sharks
this is,
do that, man. This, that's a real thing.
I do. Understand,
but they don't chomp on humans and do that. Like, not really.
Well,
they,
yeah.
They don't do it all the time.
They at the point that I almost tuned out was when this shark very clearly becomes vindictive.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Is like yeah. super territorial, and you're like, like, no, there's like a dead whale right there that you can totally like chow down on, and you're worried about like Blake Lively, who has, you know, all like you know, probably 15% body fat. Like, come on, bro. Like,
oh, no,
like,
if you think Blake Lively is 15% body fat,
yeah,
no,
I doubt
women.
I doubt
women.
That.
Women carry much more body fat than men. Yes.
15%. It's in our boob area.
Yeah, I was about to say, I guess we should just say that we're all talking about her boobs in a purely biological way.
Your
right
boobs.
Now. Anyways, so the film definitely takes a turn that I wasn't expecting. It almost knocked me off kilter. At a certain point, I just had to kind of embrace that this film was turning into Sharknado.
A film that
I never really signed up to watch. I have no intention of ever watching. And it somehow exists because people are like, this film is so terrible that it's hilarious. And I'm like, no, it was made with the intention of being terrible. Therefore, I can't possibly want to watch it. I can understand films not intending to be terrible and you watch it and you're like, oh, this is hilarious.
Like
Independence.
Oh, I was going to say The Room.
No.
Well, it's kind of like, yeah, well, it's kind of like the difference between cult and cultish, where
camp.
This is not, yeah, this is a movie made to be like trashy, a trashy cult movie. But it, yeah, like you said, it's not made in earnest.
Yeah.
So
this
therefore
movie,
it doesn't work.
I believe is made in earnest.
This movie, I do believe is made in earnest. I agree with you.
So that's kind of the thrills and the stupidity that kind of end up being shoved upon you towards the end of the film, from, you know, basically the 50% point on, where you just can't really take the shark seriously anymore. And I have my own troubles with that, but I think just the same, they still have a lot of fun with it. And the finale is pretty great. The way that they kind of use Blake Lively to they really, really like mess her up in this film. And
yeah,
and I kind of enjoyed the
it's
whole
like,
process of that.
It's like The Revenant,
because,
honestly.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Oh,
I could definitely see that.
The amount of bad shit that happens to her and the amount of damage she takes is Revenant-esque.
Yes, it's kind of incredible. And
this movie much better than The Revenant.
It's much shorter. How about this? It's much shorter than The Revenant.
Doesn't feel much shorter than The Revenant.
Oh my god, The Revenant was interminable.
Yes,
I was okay with The Revenant.
Do we have to do? Do I have to just drop in a replay of my like screed against The Revenant?
Let's not.
I'm gonna do it anyway. In post.
No.
Anyway. In post.
I think the way that she kind of gets around the shark and her plans are kind of they're pretty nonsensical. This film definitely has some issues that I think are kind of insurmountable by its own like inherent flaws in how it treats the way that the shark acts and things like that. But I think if you go in just expecting something fun, a fun, like, lighthearted shark film, shark survival horror story kind of film, I think you'll definitely be entertained. This is not a film that I would kind of, like, widely recommend to a lot of people, because I just feel like the setup and then the execution are completely different from each other. But as long as you can kind of deal with those two different tones that the film ends up, you know, executing, I think you'll be fine. I certainly enjoyed it. I don't know if it's something I'll ever necessarily watch again. unlike, you know, the Deep Blue Seas or what is that movie from the deep? Is that what it is?
Oh, like Deep Rising?
Yeah, Deep
with
Rising.
With the octopus creature?
Were there there were octopi in that?
It's like a Lovecraftian hell beast with like mouths on its tentacles.
Yeah, it's a squid kind of thing.
What?
It's like a band of pirates hijack
this?
A cruise liner, but they find that everyone on the cruise liner is already dead because, again, some Lovecraftian octopus monster has murdered them all.
Have you not seen this, Amanda?
It's got Treat Williams.
Oh, never mind. Treat Williams is in it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Come on, man. You got to sell it better than that. It's got so many like big name actors at the time. It's got the
I don't remember. That's all I remember.
Yeah, I'll look that shit up, but
it's got so many big name actors. I don't remember who they are.
But it's like, I think it's like of the times.
Yeah. Right. And I think Bill's
right.
Oh, it's
got Famke Jensen in it.
Oh, wow.
And it's got the guy that always plays the Indians.
Adam Beach?
Yes,
no, Wes Studi.
Oh, okay.
It's got Cliff Curtis in it.
I love this film.
Jimon Hansu.
Oh, all right, I'll watch it.
Yeah, we should all watch this. We should have a bonus episode.
By the way, it's Stephen Sommers. What? Love him.
Anyway, Bill, wrap up your opinion so I can give mine.
Okay, yeah. The more that we have to talk about it, the more we have to get into spoilers. So yeah. I think I'm pretty much done. Shark effects, cool. Shark attacks, 50-50. Blake Lively, A.
Okay,
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay,
Blake Lively is quite good in this.
Yes, Blake Lively's okay. So I'm just gonna say this. I love this movie. The setup was great. I had mixed feelings about the setup because I knew when she was talking about like my mother came here, I was like, oh, is it gonna be like The Gray? Where I guess spoilers for The Gray?
Nah,
no.
It's been out for a while. Okay. If you haven't seen it yet, too bad.
Anyway, this isn't even that much of a spoiler, but it turns out that his wife, who he has been kind of having visions of, and begins the movie by writing a tearful letter to, is not just like. Gone. She died of cancer. And so I was wondering, I'm like, man, if this has the same kind of twist as The Gray, I'm going to be pissed. But then she's very open about the fact that her mother passed away. And so I was like, all right, great. I'm fine with that. So yeah, it's kind of unnecessary. I mean, it would be interesting if it was just like, I'm a thrill junkie and I want to surf this place. And then she gets attacked by a shark. But I don't, it'd really have a problem with it. And, you know, they want to get some of the, some of that just, pathos and thematic richness that's not really that rich. It's more just like a sweet cream. So fine. Whatever. There's your food metaphor. it's completely unnecessary, but it's not hurting the film in any way, in my opinion. And, yeah, I thought that every shot was tense. Like, even when I knew that she probably wasn't going to get attacked yet, I was still kind of on the edge of my seat. And every time that she has to, like, vaguely, like, move away from her rock for whatever reason, I was, like, freaking out. But the movie also does a very good job of setting up the geography and setting up the path that this shark is taking so that you never feel as though you're being cheated into a scare. You always feel very clearly that everything is working like clockwork to get you there. I mean, there's a point
when
she
starts
timing, when she's timing the shark and what his like circuit from the whale to the rock, because he's in his feeding ground and he wants to eat everything. I guess it doesn't matter. They show the watch on the screen, and so you're like, okay, 30 seconds, this is fine. Okay, 20 seconds and 10 seconds, and you're just getting more and more freaked out. You're like, my God, woman, please move faster. And it really, really works. And everything that she has to go through, every, like, ounce of pain that she feels, Blake Lively, like, brings it. And she has, you know, we joked, I don't remember if it was on a podcast or off a podcast, about how a movie like this would probably be better if Amber Heard was in it. And yet,
yeah, that was off
as I was watching it, I was like, you know, actually, Amber Heard wouldn't be better in this, because I think of Amber Heard and I think, like, you know, a real, like, drive angry style, like, tough woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Blake Lively has more of
a softer side.
A weakness to her that really plays into mm-hmm. this and does well yeah. for it. So I was yeah. down for that. I really
she's
got
definitely,
on Team Lively.
Like, she's not a fighter. She's more of like a strategist.
Right. She's got yeah. a lot of scrap to her, but she's not.
She's a survivor.
Right. Right.
She's not going to give up. She's going to survive.
Oh my gosh.
And keep on
Thank
surviving.
Thank you, Brian.
yes. You're very welcome. So yeah, I mean, all of her work alone, basically, you know, medicating herself, or just not really medicating because she's not using medicine, but, you know, doing minor surgery, and everything was great. And the fact that you could be watching her on this rock and kind of forget that, oh yeah, there's a shark in the water, says a lot about her as a performer in this. And then when the shark comes back, it reminds you in a big way that the shark is back. And I liked it. I liked every minute. I thought that towards the end, when she makes a break from the rock, it gets a little, and by a little I mean insanely absurd. But if you've seen a Yame Kolesara film, the guy loves to just, like, take character drama, you know, give it some action movie style, and then in the third act just say, all right, you've had your vegetables, here's the goddamn cake. And, I mean, like, in Nonstop has a lot of moments where Liam Neeson is, like, you know, he's a drunk and he's doing all this other stuff. And, you know, he's pissing off everyone on this plane because he's just making a bunch of really bad decisions. But you can see where they're coming from. And then...
What's the line, Brian?
Shortly after everything kind of comes to a head and everyone's like, you know, Marshall, they're saying on the news that you're hijacking this plane. Like, we got to take him down. And finally, he gets to give his speech where he's, like, talking about how his, I guess spoilers for Nonstop, like, he's a bad father and he worked too much and lost his family. And then he says, I'm not a good father. I'm not a good man. I'm not hijacking this plane. I'm trying to save it. And so, after that point, everything kind of starts going his way, and we get this crazy, crazy action set piece where there's a bomb on the plane, and they're not even going to try to get the bomb off the plane. They're just going to make it so that when the bomb explodes, they can still land the plane, and there's a shootout, and it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, all of the slow ratcheting tension leaves for a literal ticking bomb and a shootout and a bunch of other shit. I think there's a knife fight, too. Anyway, I mean, that's great. I love it. The end of Run All Night has a similar thing where the more realistic shootouts
yeah.
begin to devolve. And so,
well, because Common shows up and
yeah,
he's amazing.
Because badass Common shows up. Yeah. And in this movie, you get the same thing. And I don't have a problem with that because the movie, I think, earns the absurdity at the end. You know, it, unlike The Gray, where everything remains fairly realistic, and when it does seem like it's going to get a little bonkers, it cuts out. This movie's like, nah, fuck it, let's do it. You know, you've watched this poor woman suffer. I know you want to see her strike back, so let's go for it. And it doesn't lose its sense of humor, and it doesn't ever let things become too dour. Because at the heart of this is a rollicking action story, and I loved it. It was great. I enjoyed this movie quite a bit. Here are some things I won't do in defense of this movie. I won't claim that a great white shark will just hang out in a place and murder anything that moves.
Yes.
Because yeah. I even yeah. looked up, because great white sharks are pretty solitary animals.
Right.
So I looked up to see, you know, like, what's up with this. And yeah, they'll chase off other sharks. But there's... Yeah. It's still... I'm actually looking from marinebio.org/species for Carcharodon carcharias. And
there was an article...
Whether great whites are territorial.
There was an article where I guess some scientists from NOAA, like, basically... go into the details of this film. And the fact that we're even having this conversation after Jaws has come out and after all of this research has happened, I think this film is interesting because had this happened in the 1970s,
oh, I no, think we'll this give film, a shit.
Yeah, everybody would no. be like, all right, yeah. cool. That shark sure is
That's
crazy.
Something that I've actually but been now, toying with for our next roundtable. There yes. was a time when no one gave a fuck. And
about
now,
sharks?
Between, like, Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson, people will clamp on to things being, for some reason, hewing as close to reality as possible while still not giving a shit that, like, men can fly.
Right.
And so...
Yeah. Not what I'm talking about because
yeah but I
what
wanted
I'm
to
saying
address
is,
that
okay yeah, so go well because I was just saying like we've done a lot of shark research since that point because Peter Benchley's novel actually had quite a bit of research kind of behind it and
have you ever read Jaws
no
it's actually yeah. quite bad
I've heard it's terrible
okay. it's well, pretty bad
it, like Benchley like did a lot of research before writing that or writing the book. Novel that turned into his screenplay but he like it was kind of cutting edge research at the time
mm-hmm.
and it was quickly like outpaced by all of these other scientists that were like
right
no I don't think that's quite right like sharks legit don't like the taste of humans and you know all this other
yeah.
stuff and it was just like
well the reason okay. sharks attack humans is because they
think they're seals
yeah yes. they think they're seals
though there was an article I read about there was something I think it was in Spain where a female shark ate a male shark that was in the same pen and for whatever reason news sites clamped onto the fact that like look at this woman shark eating this man shark like world's best feminist and there was if you read the article there was a sea researcher who I assume was being translated from Spanish because what she said was amazing and poetic in a way that only a completely literal translation can be and she said it may have been a territorial dispute where the man was bump where the smaller male shark was bumping the larger female shark and she said in a situation like that a shark will sometimes bite out of astonishment
wow
I
that's
think
amazing
probably meant like shock or just like reflex but astonishment well, was what was put in the newspaper
as much as that is a beautiful word
yes.
to describe anything with a shark.
A shark being astonished and then is biting whatever's nearest.
I'm just trying to imagine a shark being like,
not only.
But the thing about it's like we always think of sharks as being these unstoppable killing machines, but they actually they're very sensitive, especially around their stomach area and their nose, which is yeah. why they say if you're ever bitten by a shark, you have to beat on the front of their like right on the front of their nose and they'll let you go. Yeah. So it's just strange to know those kinds of things and then watch a movie like this. And yeah. And I'm willing to let all the scientific stuff go.
Okay.
I am. I'm not that worried about it because like we said, Jaws is a perfect movie in my opinion.
Yep.
And they definitely take a lot of liberties with the creature in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually surprised this movie didn't go full feeding frenzy.
With, like, many sharks?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, I think that would have really...
That would have been interesting.
That's The Shallows 2, Shark Boogaloo, where this yeah. next time, someone will be stuck on top of the whale for the entire movie as 100 sharks feed around it.
Oh, my God.
I will pay for that
nightmare.
Movie.
I don't know, man.
Nightmare.
I don't know.
Do we want to talk spoilers?
Yeah, we should.
Okay. I got a cue set up, so let's talk spoilers for The Shallows. My hat is like a shark. All right, so spoilers. I had to get it in
God.
There.
Oh, my
Thank
Spoilers
you so much.
For The Shallows. She lives. Shark. This is what's crazy, because I'm watching this movie and I'm like, well, she's gonna live. Like, there's no way this movie's gonna end that darkly. But she can't kill the shark, right? Like, there's nothing in her power to murder the shark. And then she gets
to the
buoy. They
light that bitch on fire.
They get to the buoy, and she lights the shark on fire, and it jumps out of the water, and then back in, the shark is still alive, and I'm like, well, now she's definitely not going to be able to kill the shark. Little did I know that Blake Lively would attach herself to a chain holding the buoy in place as the shark was ripping apart the buoy, and that once the buoy had been ripped out of the moorings, the chain would sink to the bottom where there's a piece of concrete filled with jagged rebar that she would move towards very quickly, dragged by the chain, and the shark would follow, and she would roll out of the way fast enough that the shark would impale itself on the rebar. Holy fuck, that's awesome.
That is crazy sauce finale stuff.
That is just the entire best possible thing that could happen to end this movie.
The entire crowd went bananas. Like, they were just like... I didn't see anybody on their feet because it was a dark theater, but I'm sure there were some people like on their feet, like,
I wanted to get on my feet, but I'm in the critics section, so like I feel the need to be a little more like subtle, but like I wanted to cheer. I wanted to clap. I was in like Fast and Furious 7 mode at that point. It was amazing.
I will agree with you what you said earlier, Brian, about it getting more and more absurd. I actually could have done with more absurdity, because the reason she's able to light the shark on fire is because the dead whale is leaking oil.
Yeah.
Like whale oil.
Yep.
Whale and blubber. It leaves like whale blubber oil, whatever. We know what it is.
Yeah.
And it leaves this trail.
It's like a slick.
And she lights the shark on fire. I was like, I wanted that fire to continue. And I wanted that whale to blow up and just whale chunks go everywhere.
Oh my god. That would
I was ready
amazing.
For it.
That would be amazing.
My body was ready for that.
Okay, wait, no. So that's what your body was ready for that?
Oh, I was ready for it. I was like, I want that whale to explode.
Okay, we got to start writing down our pitches for The Shallows too.
That would be total like Tremors style. Just crazy sauce.
In
like,
Shallows
what?
2, the surfer gets trapped on top of the whale carcass, and then at the end the whale carcass explodes, is what we got so far?
Yeah.
But the person jumps off the whale carcass.
Yes.
Could
the person surf the explosion on one of the fins of the whale?
Oh my god. See,
while
that's what
fire.
I'm talking about. I was like, this movie didn't go far enough.
I
should have gone further.
I don't know. That entire buoy scene was
the David
bananas. That was bananas. Like,
that was crazy. Because, I mean, first of all,
shark was straight up like eating metal. And I was just like, is this movie?
Sharks will eat anything.
The shark
they will.
The shark can't rip
off metal, though.
Sharks
like, that's
will
crazy.
Attack shark
that's
cages.
True.
I mean, like, there's a reason those things have to be super strong. But at a certain point, you are like, yeah, why is this shark so fucking angry at Blake Lively?
I don't know, man.
I think it might just be that he wants fresh food, or I couldn't figure out if it was territorial or like his impulse was like, ooh, fresh is better.
They did something in the film where they set up that whale oil slick. Mm-hmm. Early on in the film. The other thing is, and to be honest, to the film's credit, I didn't even put two and two together until she looked at the oil slick and she was like, and I was like, oh shit, this is gonna happen.
There's a lot of overhead shots, like bird's eye shots, showing the whale sort of that's pooling around the whale, this dark, gross, which is strange because I'm like, would it be dark?
Yeah.
Would it? I don't
Depends
know.
Depends on the whale.
Yeah. Oil is weird the way it reacts to water. But the other thing I want to say is they do something in the film that they kind of touch on, but then they kind of let go, and it kind of ends up playing on later in the film. But the shark has a barb in its mouth. Mm-hmm. It looks like a piece of a harpoon, or maybe it's actually a strong hook from like a deep sea fisherman's,
yeah,
you know, boat.
Sure,
yeah. And so like she kind of, and at no point does she ever feel like angry at the shark. She's just like, why won't this thing like leave me alone? Like she yeah. never, she is never like,
oh, she gets pissed off at it. She does. Yeah, she tells it, fuck you at the end.
But she's not like she understands that like she's in his territory kind of deal, right? She never is like, why is this happening to me? She's just like,
yeah, she's
shit.
Like, oh, this is a bad mistake.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm in a bad spot here.
Don't surf by yourself, people.
Yes. That's another lesson in this film for yes. sure.
Don't quit med school. Don't surf by yourself.
And maybe keep your phone in your wetsuit. Like there's gotta be a waterproof pocket in there.
Can I say something about, I thought this movie was going to go full Jurassic Park 3 because,
oh, okay. Yeah.
That guy, when she's able to retrieve the GoPro camera and she sees the inside of the shark's mouth, and this is after the shark chomps, cuts that guy in half, the beach drunk.
Yeah.
And when she's zooming in, I was like, if we see her goddamn cell phone in that shark's mouth, I'm going to lose my mind.
That would be amazing.
I wasn't sure if I wanted that or not.
For The Shallows too.
She sees it like FaceTiming out of the shark's mouth.
Oh my god.
That is definitely a plot point we will have to put in The Shallows too. And even better, since it's going to be a swarm of like black tip sharks, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. We need to make it so that she doesn't know precisely which one it is.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
And so she has to wait until her alarm goes off and then try to hear inside of the sharks which one to pull out and cut open. Anyway, continue.
I'd be kind of on board for that.
Yeah.
But I did...
We're gonna make The Shallows, too.
I did expect them to actually, like, do something with the little shark hook or the hook in the shark's mouth. And I mean, it obviously plays a big role in the finale.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, like they're giving a reason for this shark to kind of sort of maybe have like something against humans. Right. And I was like, oh, OK,
I think that might be too much.
I said kind of
sort of.
Shark
has something against. Oh, like
I
okay.
said kind of sort of. Like even
like
that's
Planet
too
of the
much,
Apes
Ryan?
Level.
Like a vendetta. I mean,
kinda sorta. Like maybe just hinting at it. And
well, that's the plot.
I will allow you that, Bill. Even though I believe that you are incorrect, I will not fight you on that.
Okay.
That's the whole plot of Jaws: Revenge.
That's my concern is that we're getting too close to Jaws: The Revenge territory.
Oh yeah, because the Jaws family is definitely out to get the Brody family.
Become the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's awesome.
It totally is.
I was kind of curious about the fact that this. So they do something pretty interesting that I actually found really, really. Like done really well was the whole jellyfish sequence.
Oh,
was
great.
Was pretty like crazy. And
where
then,
did they go? That's the thing. There's a lot of things that happen in this movie where like,
well, I mean, they kind of disappear
and they're just disappear. No, they don't just disappear.
She's been on that buoy for a while.
But then that guy on the beach disappears too. Like everybody seems to miss.
No,
the.
Like, yeah, I don't know. And the way the film plays with the timeline of high
end,
tide.
What's that?
They show the
dead body,
half drunk guy at the.
No, that was the surfer who got killed earlier. Oh, okay. The GoPro surfer.
Because
my
only other thought was that guy died at like the lowest of low tide. And so maybe as the tide came in, it washed his body away.
I wouldn't mind seeing his like. To do parts of his body just floating around in the water.
Oh my god, Amanda.
Jesus. Amanda is just like cranking this to 11. Like,
look, I wanted it to go so much further than it did.
It either needed to be a lot more realistic or a lot less realistic in her.
A lot less realistic in this case.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Floating body parts would be a realistic thing to do.
Well, I guess if he's in half, like the water could get into the, you know, the what's
there, There were a couple of times where the high tide didn't exactly make any sense to me.
I was
the high tide and low tide, because like at one point they're counting down the time, and I figure doesn't high tide and low tide work kind of like on a 24-hour cycle?
Because the thing that they were saying
comes in and it goes out, right?
Yeah, because they were saying that the rock she was on would become an island, and it never really does.
Well, I mean,
it kind of does at the very end, it becomes, you know, hidden. But yeah, I was expecting that to happen a lot sooner, and she's on that damn rock for like a good
2 or 3 days.
No, it's a 24-hour period.
Yeah, it's
she gets
a little bit over
towards
24
sunset
hours.
On the first day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then
around 6
she
o'clock.
She leaves it around sunset on the second day.
Maybe it felt like 2 or 3 days.
It's about a day and a half almost. It's like closing in on a day and a half.
Because she gets discovered
the next
morning.
Takes place like over 36 hours, but that takes us through 3 days.
Okay.
That's breaking my head right now. Okay. Anyway.
She's attacked at 6 p.m. basically on day one. 24 hours later is like 6 p.m. the next day. And then
she's
found
still on
early morning
rock.
The next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway. I thought the whole high tide thing was kind of weird, the way that they played with that.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I guess maybe I'm supposed to know a little bit about high tide and low tide, but like I said, I thought it worked on like a 12-hour, 24-hour cycle where she would just be washed off that fucking thing, you know, within a certain amount of time, and she bails on it. Yeah, she bails on it, but that's like more than 24 hours past that time, so I figured within a 12-hour mark, she would have to get off that thing, and she was on the rock a lot longer.
Because they said there's one tide a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I feel like it didn't play as, because they emphasize it so much.
Yeah.
She talks to the surfers in the beginning, and they mention it, and then like you said, the watch comes up and it's counting down. And then it's like, oh well, I guess that wasn't that big a deal. I don't know why
it's counting down to low tide, which will be when she has the most rock, and then it starts counting back up to high tide when she will have no rock.
But I was wondering how. Would she have more area to move around? Would she? It
she did
didn't
a
really.
She had the whole second rock on her rock, and that's where the helmet was.
Yeah,
I guess
she had a little bit more room, but yeah, I mean, it was kind of weird that the way they played with that. And then there was another sequence where, I mean, they were clever with the way they used the watch to the timer to like to count down. But I thought she basically said that she had 30 seconds. To do whatever she did, and at some points it seemed like she had 50 seconds.
Well, because the buoy moved. The buoy.
No. I'm talking about while she was on that rock. Every time she tried to like get something out of the water, like the helmet, several times, or like she tries to swim towards that surfboard, she's giving herself like 50 seconds to do something that.
What she said, I think, was it's 32 seconds from the whale to the rock. So if she's timing him from the rock to the whale, then she's got 30 seconds of him moving away, but then 30 seconds of him moving back.
Right. Okay.
So that's,
I guess,
60-ish seconds, but that last 10 seconds, you're probably not going to want to be in the water.
Okay. Yeah. I got it.
So anyway.
Can we just talk about the very ending?
I thought that the epilogue was completely unnecessary.
Oh my god, was it dumb. When her sister calls her Dr. Adams, I wanted to throw a javelin through the screen.
there's been a lot of my critics were like, doctor? Like, I guess she was just a year away? Yeah.
And she's recovering from her injuries while she's in med school? She had gangrene.
Yeah. Look, what? Everyone knows that I was going to say lived experience being
and all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a long time. Like, I have a friend whose husband was studying to be a pediatrician. It took, like, 5 years, I would say. Like, he finally just officially became a doctor, and he's practicing. I mean, it's very silly.
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about, like, a 14-year-old girl. Like, do we know that she's actually a doctor now? Like, is it possible that the little girl is just like... calling her that because she's back in med school?
Yeah, she might have gotten her doctorate or something like that.
No, maybe, I think she swerved.
I think that the little girl was just like, "You're back in med school. I'm going to start calling you doctor again."
No, I mean you could read it like that, but I think they're definitely giving her a degree from the Shallows school of Bowie.
Shallows School of Medicine.
School of Hard Sea Knox. I don't know. Hard Ocean Knox.
Good try, Amanda. Good try.
They really
I'm not you,
up
Brian.
That
I can't.
That buoy got jacked, man.
I hope that buoy wasn't important.
Gosh.
Well, yeah. Well, because there's those boats.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to crash. They'll probably crash in some rocks because that buoy's up there.
Yeah, no, I agree. The epilogue was unnecessary. But it was like 20 seconds of a 87-minute movie. It was fine.
Sure. Yeah.
Speaking of 87-minute movies, we are currently at 70 minutes, so we should probably wrap up.
Yeah, let's wrap up.
I just gonna say it again. I liked The Shallows. I had no problem with anything that happened in this movie enough to make the movie not worth recommending. I think that if you're the type of person who is going to go see Independence Day Resurgence happily, you could go see The Shallows happily.
When you put it that way, then yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I mean, I'm not alone in my critical love of this movie. I gave it a B+. Other people gave it things that are bad. And that's where I think it belongs. It's a good B movie.
Yes. It's definitely an A-grade B movie.
But, you know, to be completely confusing about it, the film stage to be an A has to be really high. So B+ is the best I could give it without Jordan coming down on me.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think that a B+ is perfect for this movie.
I think a solid B or B-. That's where I'm at.
Maybe I'm just too harsh of a grader. I've definitely given a film an F on the film stage. So,
woof.
Yeah.
Was it the fucking wailing?
That was no.
I didn't do the wailing. No, the person who did the wailing gave it a good review. It was a Cabin Fever sequel.
Why does that exist?
I don't know. Who knows?
Cause that's why I got an F.
Fail.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that's it for today. Listen up or keep an eye on your feeds because we will be having a review of the Neon Demon at some point. This is also going to be one of those weeks where we do a round table. So keep an eye out for that. We don't really have our topics nailed down yet. So those will be surprises when they come. And other than that, remember to follow us on Twitter at Film Stage Show. Find us on Facebook, search for The Film Stage Show. And give us a comment and a rating on iTunes and email us a podcast at thefilmstage.com if you have anything to say. If you saw The Shallows and loved it and want to help us write the sequel, tweet at us with hashtag TheShallows2, subtitle not yet known. So let's tell the fine people at home where we can be found between now and any of the other 14 episodes that are coming out this week. Amanda Waltz.
Yes. you can find me on Twitter at Media Waltz, also at Media Waltz on Letterboxd. And you can find my blog, Steel Cinema, on WordPress.
All right, Bill Graham.
You can find me on Twitter at Bowie Boy. You can also find me at Cable BFG. You can find me writing about film on The Film Stage and freshfiction.tv.
All right, and you can find me at my personal site, brianjrowan.com, as well as dearfilm.net. You can also find me writing for The Film Stage, thefilmstage.com, and you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and pretty much every other social media network by searching for Brian J. Rowan. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, and tune in. I won't even say next week. The next episode will probably be up in a matter of days.
Going